As we look to make our urban centers more vibrant and sustainable, we explore a number of issues, among them infill development, public transportation, and access to food. Urban farming is a growing trend, and among the communities seriously exploring how best to make it work is the city of Ypsilanti. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular part of our Wednesdays during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is at the leading edge of the issue. Amanda Edmonds is Executive Director of Ypsilanti-based Growing Hope. Good morning, Amanda. Welcome back.
Thanks. Good morning, David.
Well, let's take a look back for a second. In 1999, you started the Perry Learning Garden at Perry School. It was designed to be a single school neighborhood garden. Then in 2003, Growing Hope became a federally recognized nonprofit, and you've been expanding the number of community gardens and learning opportunities throughout the community ever since. How significantly has urban farming and this concept grown over the past decade in Ypsilanti?
Very significantly. I think a decade ago, urban agriculture, urban farming wasn't a word people knew. I don't think community gardening was a word that most people knew. So community gardening, school gardening, gardening at places of worship is embedded all over our Ypsilanti city, township, and surrounding area. And now people are moving on to thinking about urban agriculture, urban farming, and what are the real opportunities to make significant difference in one's own community, one's own neighborhood, scaling up efforts so people can grow and sell, can donate to food banks. It's a whole other world, and it's a discourse I think people throughout the community really know as everyday language.
As it's become a component of the public discourse, part of the education process obviously had to include community leaders and elected officials. In Ypsilanti, there seems to be a strong desire to embrace the concept of urban farming, and yet there are some struggles to determine how best to make it work. So where are we in the political process with this?
Yeah, well, I think the city of Ypsilanti was really a great leader in the legalization of urban chickens and urban bees a few years back, and that's moved forward without much issue.
I know there's been some beekeepers that moved to the city specifically because of that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people who've moved to the community because, or stayed in the community because they're excited about the urban agriculture scene here. This past spring, City Council passed a series of food ordinances that really paved the way for proactively allowing gardening as a primary use on vacant lots, as well as clarifying that it's okay to grow vegetables in your front yard. Some things that have been controversial in other communities, our community really got ahead of making sure people knew that that was okay and something that we supported for a myriad of reasons.
Well, does this include food processing, production, and sales? I mean, is this going to be an economic engine?
It is very much an economic engine. You know, our farmers market just in our downtown had a total economic impact last season of $762,000. Food businesses are popping up everywhere, including from the city of Ypsi. So food processing and where that was okay, at what scales was clarified in that series of ordinances, kind of paving the way for people starting and retaining businesses who are Ypsi grown to stay here as they expand.
Once again, just looking back a little while, Ypsilanti had an issue with access to food. It was basically one grocery store, and there wasn't a lot of access to locally produced food for sure. Now, with the advent of the farmers markets and the expansion of the urban farming and urban agriculture, how much of a difference has it made to the residents and to the businesses of Ypsilanti to have access to these foods?
I think it's made a huge difference. You know, we can't forget that a quarter of our city residents live below the poverty line, so access to food is still a very real issue. And without a full-service grocery store in the city, which is something we are still working towards, things like the farmers market and people's ability to grow their own food is really key. We've helped 210 low- and no-income households in the Ypsi area start raised-bed veggie gardens at home, and a good chunk of them are eating a lot healthier food as a result. The farmers markets are also helping many people who didn't have access use their food stamps and other food assistance at markets. So we're filling in the gap while we still work to recruit a full-service grocery store and help really support the small groceries we have, like the Ypsi Food Co-op and Dos Hermanos.
I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. My guest is Amanda Edmonds, and Amanda is Executive Director of the organization Growing Hope. And we're talking about urban farming in Ypsilanti. Well, it seems that the next step may or may not be hoop houses.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of will from the community. The Washtenaw Food Policy Council's Planning and Zoning Policy Action Team has been gathering names of supporters because there was some controversy, although I think that the overwhelming view of many in the community is that hoop houses are an important part, really an essential part of growing food for yourself or for sale year-round. And Michigan is a leader in that. Some controversy over whether they're appropriate in the city, but as people support and embrace urban agriculture, that's a part of things. We had 85 city residents respond to a Food Policy Council survey showing that they really support hoop houses, 45 of whom wanted to build their own right in the city. Those are residents wanting to control their own land, control their own food.
What is that issue? Is there a concern about an unchecked matter of size? Is it about the manner of product that is used, whether it's noisy, whether it's using up too much electricity? What are the issues around how hoop houses?
I think people really just don't understand hoop houses very well. I mean, a hoop house is really some bent metal poles with some plastic film over it, generally not with any electricity. We support and promote, and most residents of the city, fully organic agriculture. And really that size, which some people are concerned about, is really limited by the size of our lots and the size of our yards. They really can't be that big. And so I think people really don't understand. They haven't seen hoop houses of a lot of different scales unless they've happened to have traveled and visited them in other cities like Detroit or elsewhere.
And they are working in Detroit and places like Cleveland?
Detroit and Cleveland are leaders. People come to those cities from all over the world to see their urban agriculture scenes, and they have both been leaders in terms of ordinance development and allowing these things, and have brought lots of visitors and attention in a positive way as a result.
One of the things I was thinking about in looking at using vacant lots for growing food and hoop houses on private property is the potential for rodents and pests growing exponentially in the area. How do you deal with that?
You know, it's not honestly really a concern. Groundhogs are concerned to many vegetable gardeners, but they're going to be as much of a concern in your yard, in your garden as elsewhere.
But they don't typically produce more rats and mice and all of those kinds of things?
That's not honestly a concern. I think that's sort of a perception that that's a problem. If people are composting inappropriately, but most composters we know don't put meat in the kind of things that would attract pests, I would say that dumpsters and overflowing trash and trash on things like vacant lots are much more likely to attract pests of all sorts than a lot that is really cared for.
Well, our time together is starting to wind down, but we've spoken about how much it's grown in the past decade, and now we're looking forward. The city of Ypsilanti has been very busy working to build a new vision for the future of the city. The Shape Ipsy effort has been intensive and community inclusive. What role does urban farming play in the city's vision of the future?
Well, if you read the draft of the master plan, the Shape Ipsy has been a great process, and you see urban agriculture, you see farmers market expanding to year-round markets, grocery stores, hoop houses are actually mentioned by residents many, many, many times in it. So it's exciting that our city is embracing it. And I also know that Ipsy Township is doing a master plan process as well and has invited us to give them some advice on how the township can also incorporate these factors as well. So it's not just a city thing. It's the community at large working to embrace, which is great.
Well, I know that Growing Hope has a couple of fundraisers on the schedule, and it's quite an exquisite event. Tell me.
Chefs in the Garden, we have three coming up, one August 25th and another in September and October. We bring great local chefs out to our urban farm right on Michigan Avenue in Ipsy, and they serve you up a delicious meal right in the middle of the garden. So it's a Sunday evening event, tickets available on our website, but we're excited in August to have Silvio of Silvio's Organic Pizza and Zingerman's Creamery, our featured chefs, and more in September and October. And WMU has been a great partner at some of those events as well, and we'll be DJing, providing some sounds in the background.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to it. And if you'd again like more information, go to growinghope.net. Amanda, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, David.
That is Amanda Edmonds, Executive Director of Growing Hope. I'm David Fair, and this has been another installment of Issues of the Environment. This feature is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and heard every Wednesday during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.